This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Monster My Podcast.
And this is nothing too exciting, by which I mean Beholder Fest 2017.
It's back, baby.
There's a monster in my podcast.
How many years can we do this joke? Next year is a question already. Yeah. At least two.
We got very lucky because there happens to be a book dedicated to the art of beholders.
There's later ones too, though. Mm. So like, I don't know if they're going to have new information. And this book also alludes to a 3-adventure module set, which I'm going to seek out.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And that would also be a good revisit. And we'd be, we wouldn't be doing the monster's manual or anything and be like taking a break in the middle of,
in the middle of Shadowrun season.
Shadowrun season or some other season, and then we just pop back in because it's it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah. This is like Christmas to me.
It really is.
As somebody with no family, like, this is the closest thing I have. Gosh, so
it's like one big present that you unwrap. That's the eye opening up, and then a bunch of smaller ones, stocking stuffers sticking out the head. Yeah.
If I was a beholder, I'd refer to my little guys as stocking stuffers. Yep. This is my paralysis stocking stuffer. This is my disintegration stocking stuffer.
You sound like the weirdest drug dealer.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to try a hit of this disintegration stocking stuffer?
So the book we're referring to, it's part of a series that TSR did called Monstrous Arcana,
yes,
which are these deep dives into kind of some of the more popular enemy types. This one is called I, Tyrant. Think like I, Robot. So I, Tyrant, referring to another
more
name
like
for
the
boulders.
Newest Apple device.
Topical.
Yeah, like, and then you had to imagine a picture with like a kid walking, looking down at his iPhone instead of like the world around him.
Right.
And then there's an iPhone floating behind him with a whip.
Yep.
Whipping him in the neck.
And on the screen, there's some avocado toast.
Yeah. And the kid's just walking to avocado toast.
Yeah.
He wants that toast and he's looking up ways to eat it.
Yeah.
So. On his eye tired. I'm going to have to get all the Monstrous Arcana books now.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if they can make a Sagan. Interesting.
I'm not gonna get that one, but I gotta get.
there are only three of the like monster deep dives. All the other ones are kind of campaigns modules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, so it's Beholders, Mind Flayers, which yoink.
I know there's a Mind Flayers book. Like,
yeah.
Stick that in my dick. I need that. Like, roll it up.
Yeah. Eyeball that dose. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good shit. I would look up ways to eat that. On a piece of avocado that was also on a piece of toast.
It's curious to me. I always forget that D&D second edition went for so long and also so late.
Yeah, second edition was huge. Like, this is when I got into D&D, and it was just like all splat books all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's one of the things I love about it, is this like just ridiculous excess.
Yeah, I guess. I know there's a bunch of it, I just forget, like, 1997. I was 10 years old and could have been playing this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this was even, it still had some time after this too. At least a little bit. Did your copy of the book come with a poster?
No, mine was already torn out.
Oh, buddy. I got it on my wall, and I'm really, so like my new place I'm moving into, which is much smaller than my current place.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have space to probably put up like maybe 5 total things.
Okay.
There are already these kind of hooks, and I don't want to put holes in the wall. So I'm trying to decide if it's like that either gets put into storage or gets framed and put up. But like, I have actual art. So it's really like, I love it. But like, I keep going back and forth whether that.
Do you have any doors that you could tape it up on the inside of?
I definitely could tape it onto the inside of the door.
Dorm style. Yeah.
Like, I would love to get a shower curtain with it. Cause it's just like, what if all like the beholders are all way too close to each other.
Okay.
It's real weird. Like it's just all of them. And then they're labeled and they're just really cramped in, and it's not actually very attractive art.
Uh-huh.
Like, it has this kind of grody, like mid to late 90s digital coloring on it. Like, it's kind of gross as opposed to the art that's actually in the book, which is sublime.
Of course.
Yeah. Cause there's lots of, like, if you think that beholders only have one facial expression, you gotta like read this.
Oh no.
Cause like, there's a lot of like grumpy boys and sad boys and stuff. Like,
a lot of wilted hurt boys.
Yeah. Like, oh no, my stocking stuffers are wilted. So we're bringing this up. We got 2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks coming at you. If dragons get fucking a month, these guys get get 2 weeks
because
every
there,
year.
There is some amazing detail in this.
It's a really good book, guys.
Yeah.
Like Brian Wade, if you're listening to this and you don't have this book, like, come on, buddy.
Yeah. And it's like, super recently priced. Like go for it. Like, so there'll probably be a run on Amazon. I think that a minor run on Amazon, but it's like $15.
Yeah, $15. And it is a very good $15.
Yeah.
And it justifies itself so quickly. So we're breaking this up into chapters. And I think that, like, this book stays good throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little bit more utilitarian near the end.
Yes.
The beginning of it is jaw-dropping fact after jaw-dropping fact. it's so incredible.
Including the fact that this is a digest version of a longer exegesis on Beholders. Written by a scholar from the city of Sigil. The longer work is called Observations on the Sphere of Many Eyes, Its Habits and Behavior, Its Settlements and Community, and What Not to Do when in Its Presence.
Written by Ronasiek.
Ronasiek of Sigil.
Somebody kickstart like a big leather bound, like, prop version of that.
Oh yeah.
Like, God, how cool, like, what kind of baller alpha move is it to have that, like, on a pedestal opened up to a certain page and you invite a date over and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go take a dump. And then she walks over to the book and just sees this, like, under a single spotlight.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, man, what's in this room?
Yeah, that's fucking alpha, dude. That's money.
That's alpha. Also, these episodes are going to be a little bit longer because we're going to have too much fun. So
yeah, and then to make up for it, the 3 weeks after this will be low energy and shitty. So just so you know, what happened, a little behind the scenes. It's going to be all falling action. So the first, way their introduction, we learned the basic conceit, and then Beholders, what they are. Like, this is great.
Yes. Because you get these little, like, cutaway diagrams of the inside. They're anatomical diagrams of what's going on in them noggins.
Various sacks, like, and the good, like, the SAC sack, not the SACK sack, like, mm-hmm. the good kind of sack.
Yeah. So many bladders. You get to see their tongue rooted way back to the back of their head. You learn
their tongue is so fucking weird, dude. Like, we could do a whole episode just on beholder tongues.
Oh,
because,
my,
like,
gosh.
They're like, they keep talking about how medium muscular they are. But they can't use them to manipulate things, but they can use them to push things across the floor.
Yes.
Which is, like, what an image. Like,
there is a sentence later on in this chapter, past these diagrams, talking about, it's like, oh, physical manipulation. How do they get around? I'm just going to read this to you with no inflection, no anything. The sight of a frustrated beholder pushing a child's toy across a rough stone floor with its tongue is almost as pitiful as it is humorous.
This is like this
book is my Tonka truck. My Tonka truck. Like,
yeah, it's like, ah, my rattle. I like how it makes noise when I move it. This book is full of the greatest sentences ever created. Like, it's really some of just the best words, you know, like,
five,
together.
Nostrils are not present in all species, semicolon. Many beholders are mouth breathers. So you just picture them floating around.
Actually, breathing Gamergate nerd shits. Very, very good. Their tongue also is like, it talks about that's where they store stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, like, somebody was like, how does it, okay, beholder, they got to carry shit around. I don't know why, but, like, somebody said that. And it's in their mouth, so they, like, open up their mouth and move their gigantic muscle tongue out of the way to, like, show you their turtle treasures inside. Yeah. Like, it's fucking weird.
Well, one of those turtle treasures is actually rooted at the back of the tongue. They have to move their tongue out of the way for mating and for birth.
Oh, yeah. Like, just like moo, and then they just like a smaller beholder, just, yeah, like
it's like a Pez dispenser.
Yeah, except for beholders instead of Pez. It's very good.
Yeah.
And they do this. They have to do this to get to the organs, which means they have to do this for self fertilization.
Right.
So, like, they just, like, they have, like, just the idea of, like, moving this tongue out of the way, like,
yeah.
The way that it's written makes it sound like it is not part of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just like they've got to heft it out of the way. I imagine it just being like pushing the, okay, Martha, like, let's push the beds together kind of thing. Right. Except for the conversation with yourself. Like, you're, right. you're kind of like a looking glass or a scrying yeah. pool.
They have to unhinge their tongues so their stamen and whatever
can yeah.
give me contact.
Okay, exatattle. It's time for some alone. It's time for a little quality time with the old self-reproductive organs.
Yep. I've got a date with rosy tongues. Yeah.
Yeah. They can store, they have this second like storage stomach
mm-hmm.
that they can do to like store food.
Yes.
So they put food, it doesn't like digest it. It just hangs out in there so they can like regurgitate into their first stomach, which like, I'm not a rube. Like, I get that actual animals can do this.
Right.
This is inside this one magical sphere. Like uh-huh. It's just, it's very, very like impressive to me.
This 1 5-foot diameter sphere of meat.
Yeah. Gigantic cartilage.
Yeah. And just like right away, the xenophobia and just shitty racism of these things is apparent too. They hate so many other people that they will only mate with themselves to make sure their child will be pure.
To be pure, like they're yeah. Proud Boys.
Yeah,
like they're alt-right shitheads, man. Like, and it's there's so many parallels to it because it's all about like purity and any kind of variation on their species being wrong and evil.
Yep.
You know, it's like, man, like, what a good metaphor these mouth breathers are for our current times.
this diagram is amazing. Like, I wish I could take this and blow it up and just make like a raster print of it.
That would be really good. Like those Pokemon
yeah.
diagrams. Like, that would be really, really phenomenal.
Yeah, the diagram of the cheat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. This is extremely good. I think that this book actually peaks when it gets to Beholder Diet, though. Like, it's very early because like we're on like page like 6 or something,
right?
But so it tell you, it's all like, you know, okay, they need, you know, so many pounds of food, you know, how many gallons of water a day they can put in their second stomach, etc. But then you get to like favorites and least favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, Cole, like, what is this? Like
yeah.
Starts out good, gets better.
Yeah, well, like the favorite foods, like, okay, small live mammals, funguses, like you would think, okay, yeah, it makes yeah.
roast beef, lamb and pork, well, you know,
yeah,
who doesn't? You know, leafy green vegetables, good. That's a, you know, balanced diet.
Yep.
Brain day, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
moving on.
Favorite drinks, they love they wine, except they know when you're trying to ply them with it.
Yeah, they unfortunately know if you're trying to inebriate them, and it takes 4 times as much wine to get a beholder drunk, which, like, there's not a whole chapter on drunk beholders, but there totally should be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what do beholders do when they get drunk, man? Like,
well, I mean, like, there are whole chapters later on about the ways they entertain themselves, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we assume, but that's probably how a lot of, because it's in, like, a lot of their sports, like, we're going to get to the sport chapter,
mm-hmm.
essentially, and, like, you have to imagine those being drunk at like a beholder barbecue.
Yes.
BBQB. You know, BBQ.
What's the extra B for?
It's BYOB. What's that B for?
Beholder. Beholders.
It's beholder, beholder, Q. Beholder, beholder, your beholder.
So in addition to wine, they will also drink blood. Okay. You can trick them with water. Basically, you can give them diet blood by giving them water, but it has to be mixed with food coloring.
There's food coloring in D&D.
they're like little picky boys.
Then you get into the least favorite foods, which is like, that's where you get real like picky.
Well, so, no. Like, so the thing is, they get real picky. The first 3 of those are orb things, so hard-boiled eggs, grapes, citrus fruit, melons.
So like a joke, like, oh, like they don't want to eat a small eye,
right?
And then mountain oysters, which like
balls.
Yeah, you remember when we all learned what those were, and
yeah,
like
yeah, when I watched the movie Funny Farm, yes.
Yeah, and but then yeah, he loves them fucking testicles. But then anything batter fried.
Come on, man!
Like you just like. They're just like weird, like floating health nuts, you know? And then any shellfish still in the shell. I don't like that either, but like, yeah. why do I have that in common with beholders? Like,
why do they also like colorful leafy vegetables? Come on.
It's very, you know, very, very strange. And they like their food in a visually, they like a visually stimulating meal.
Yeah, so they just get, you got to have a plate.
It's always a good idea, it says. Who's this written for? Like, is the idea that like this is the chapter specifically if you happen to be a servant?
Oh, it's how to cook for beholders.
Oh,
a little bit of dust on the cover.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
We're not done yet, Gary.
No, not at all. Like we still got time. So we move on. We got respiration, life cycle, until we get to a schedule of a typical beholder day written from the perspective of the beholder.
This is the, like, I mean, not to continue the political stuff. This might as well be Donald Trump's schedule. Yeah, right.
Like they are like as much as I love them, like they are like the alt-right D&D monster.
Yeah,
like they are the right-wing shitbag D&D monster.
Awaken and inspect lair for signs of intruders. 5:30 a.m. It's all about shaking down the subordinates and just like going around and double checking the traps and being incredibly paranoid.
It seems really boring, like the their whole life. But it's just enjoy daily meal prepared by a minion. Scrounge from the meat locker in quotes cave. Supplement meal with an excessively lazy or insolent minion.
Yeah. Weirdly, a beholder also only gets 3 hours of sleep.
That's the sad part to me. I was way on board. Like, a little bit of beholder envy in this. I was just like,
a little bit, yeah,
this all seems good. And then I was just like, oh, 3 hours of sleep. That's not very much, guy.
Oh gosh. The beholder life cycle, they make very clear several times throughout the book that, in no way can you take a baby beholder and raise it.
Yeah. Cause it knew that was going to be your first response to this,
right?
Was like, if I got my hands on that book, mm-hmm. That would be like the first thing. Because I was thinking about this in terms of I just reread the new X-Men run, the Grant Morrison run.
Oh yeah,
and has Phantom X, who has his external nervous system is his mutant power. Mm-hmm. And I was like, having a beholder I could control would be a really good mutant power. Like it's just me, and I'm just Gary.
Yeah,
but there's just a beholder that does like backs me up.
Yeah, you're a beholder whisperer.
Yeah, like that's a good mutant power. Like, and I was thinking about that as I was reading this. I was like, maybe I'll get into that someday. And then it says you can't. It dashes that dream.
No, because like just everything that is shitty about them is there from the day they are born.
Like, they're born grandpas. Like they're like Benjamin Button. Like they start out as racist as a grandpa and die as racist as a grandpa. But it's. I think there's kind of a common thread in D&D books where like, they all suffer from telling you what you can't do.
Right.
Right. Like a good D&D book should just tell you what you can do. And then everything they don't mention, just assume if the DM wants to do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be a better way to do it. But the best thing is we start getting this like little peek into their language. Young beholders are known as cackwat in their language, which roughly translates to punks.
Yep.
this little cackwat.
Oh God! When you say it in that voice, it sounds like the filthiest thing.
It sounds like a slur.
It does.
Like, it's just like once the cackwat move into town, oh, it just means punk.
Yeah.
Like, then plays there's like cackwat music.
Oh yeah.
And there's somewhere there's like a cackwat like psycho circus outside of Beholder Town.
I'm trying to think of like what you would call a juggalo beholder, but I've got nothing. I should not have even spoken.
It's I guess an eye isn't a lobe. I was gonna say juggalobe. But that's not right.
They are punks until they have kids, at which point they are either contributors or befoulers, depending on if you're outside the breed, they're a befouler.
Yeah, that's where you get your like exiles and stuff.
Yes.
They live for a while, and unless they get one of these diseases, this isn't like super great, like this disease section, like, but just because it's been giving so much.
Yeah. I like the idea of a beholder being more afraid of spasms and anything. Which just means that I fly in random directions and maybe shoot people, with my eyes. There's a stripe running through this where any aberrant behavior for a beholder is considered to be mania, or one of the ways that you're exiled is if you have mania. But mania is possibly saving the life of somebody. Like any kind of altruism is considered to be outgroup behavior.
And so I'm really glad they allow for that, because that's an adventure hook,
right?
So that's one of the only like very few disappointments of this book is that the the section at the end where they talk about the modules and stuff, it's like, here's sketches of eight assholes, you know, just different negative adjectives applied to these eight beholders.
Yeah.
You know, like I just really wish there was a little bit more shade. We get into the types of beholders, and a lot of this stuff is stuff we dealt with in the actual entry.
Yes. Go back and listen to the previous Beholder year's Fest Beholder Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. Last year's Beholder Fest of years past.
Yeah. They're like a lot of the detail here is like mostly linguistic. So like hive mothers, you know, they're only called that because a group of female elves, you know, came up on them and saw that, oh, they're like, they're spawning these things and they must be mothers. But in beholder language, they're just called spawner bosses.
Yeah. Spawner boss. Like they're doom villains.
Yeah.
So we talked about the mothers. There's elder orbs, which are like old beholders that get kind of more powerful.
Yeah.
Beholder kin, which we've dealt with before. There's like the one that sucks blood, the one that's underwater. Mm-hmm. The awesome one, is it the spectator?
Yeah, the spectator is the ones that I really go in for.
Those are the chill ones that can, and this gives us a ability. You can actually, there's a spell that you control them.
Yeah.
So like, that's pretty cool. But you can't take away their chatty nature.
No. So like, I love the way they phrase this. If you walk in on a spectator while he's, you know, contemplating, while he's trying to get to the bottom of this question, he will gently attempt to drive off all who do not heed its request.
Shoo. Because they have their modal. They have two modes, freely thinking and contemplating. It's very, very weird. But those are the nice guys. Those are the only nice beholders. Then we get our abominations, and these are a bunch of the things that shouldn't have been beholders in the first place, like that fucking tree.
Yeah, the tree that grows from the ceiling. Like, it looks cool. Yeah. It's a good idea, but they are only akin to beholders because hive mothers will, you know, spawn them for specific purposes. They're basically these are foot soldiers and turrets.
Yes. Then we get to our undead beholders, which we talked about those, and those are also a little overlap.
Yeah.
There's definitely a beholder here that's doing the face that, like, when Homer Simpson peels the gummy Venus de Milo off the babysitter's butt.
Yep.
And she turns back and there's this guy. Sweet, sweet can. and then we have like some like associated friends.
Yes, which include the mounts, and then
the
also,
mount is new. The mount was not in the monstrous manual, and this is something else.
I could have sworn one of them had a mount before.
Well, one of them had a mount, the crawler mount, the director mount, which is the one that rides around on a centipede.
Yes.
The patroller beholder mount, it's either here or later, but this is like a body, like the slime knights. In Dragon Quest, like they have these weird little zombie bodies they can attach to.
I could have sworn.
So you can become a person with a beholder head.
Huh. I know that later on there's the armor that they can wear.
Yeah. I think that's what this is.
Okay.
Right.
Huh.
Looks like a hairy headless troll with oversized torso. Like this with armor.
This is like a meat puppet. That other thing is just a set of armor. This is an actual body, gotcha. Like an organic thing that is again, Pez dispensered out of a hive mother.
Yeah. Cause they talk about these things later too. These guys get their own monstrous manual entry.
Yeah.
Later, but these are not in the monstrous manual.
No.
I'm pretty sure. So if you imagine like a person with a beholder for a head, like that's
sign me up.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. And then just the rumored variations, which are either beholders in space, eagle eyes, which is like, they don't have the right kind of lasers, and then the gorble. Gary
the gorble's good. the voice this book is written in is so good.
This sad sack of beholderkin looks much like a beholder, however its eye stalks possess no special abilities and actually end in claws. The gorble can levitate, but if sufficiently damaged will explode.
Yeah, it doesn't have the thing that the beholders do, which is shoot shit out of their eyes.
It is a fool's beholder.
It's like a pet beholder. Like it's like one that's like neutered.
Yeah.
You know, this one's forked.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.